Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
Welcome back. I'm Aaron.
And we're here today to talk about season four. Actually, we're going to do a little bit of season three preamble stuff because we know it's been a long freaking time since this show has been on the air. And I don't know about you, Aaron. I went back to do some research on this show in prep for watching the trailer and talking about it today. And I was lost. I was real damn lost.
We actually intended to record this yesterday, which is Thursday, the 16th. And we both sat down like, I'm not ready.
No.
I need another day. And I'm glad we did because they dropped the official season four trailer on us that day. What is it about? Like, are studios bugged? Should we do this more often where we say we're going to do a preview and then we don't do the preview, so we bait the trailer? I don't know. But right. I think it worked out because now I feel a lot better prepared because it has. This is a complicated show.
Yes.
It's been off the air for 2.5 years. A lot has changed in the world. A lot has changed in Bald Move. This is the first time you've heard our voices again since the last season. Then welcome back. I'm glad to have you guys with us.
Glad you survived the pandemic so far.
In the last few weeks, this story has come out of Google, where one of their software engineers is suing them to protect a chatbot that he believes has achieved sentience.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it has or not, you know, this is a rip from the headlines Westworld story, baby. People are debating about whether a artificial construct that humanity has designed is self-aware, is passing the Turing test. It's a great time to get back to Westworld because, like I said, we've said this all
right.
These are complicated issues that we ought to grapple now before it's in front of us. And I think Westworld's got a great way to kind of help us think through those things.
It does. Let me say this. I have some feelings on the show after doing some prep for this thing.
Sure.
I was amazed going back to all the way to season one. I watched some of Alt Shift X videos. He's got very good stuff over on his YouTube channel. And
sure. Big fan.
I was blown away by how simply, concisely and cohesively he recapped especially that first season, but then season two and three as well, because my experience with seasons two and three were that they were very complex, extraordinarily complex, one of the most complex shows I've ever seen. And the way that they were sort of boiled down into a 20-minute recap made me realize that this show, there's a veneer of purposely confusing storytelling happening over the top of what are much simpler, more important concepts that the show is exploring. And I was just blown away by how when you jettison all that shit about like, oh, what does this mean? And what does that mean? And like theory of the week stuff. And you just get right down to it. The basic themes of this show are not that complex. And I feel like there is, they've maybe slathered on a little too much Nolan type of storytelling for the show, but you know, you get down to it, and there's some really interesting stuff here to talk about, and we have been talking about it. We will continue to talk about those compelling themes in season four. I think with the trailer, the stuff I've seen from it, we have a lot more there to talk about. The place that they left us in season three is super compelling. With this post-credit stuff.
And from what I've seen in the trailers, I think we're in for some interesting inversions of the status quo that should, I mean, I could, the worst case scenario is I feel like it'll feel like a retread or like, you know, some of those AAA games that you play the levels going forward. And then late in the game, they've run out of resources and you play the level backwards.
Yuck.
And it's like, this is the same fucking level. It's just I'm running backwards, huh? My biggest fear is some of these inversions, if they are actually happening, are going to feel a lot like running through a level backwards. But I think best case, they're going to illuminate and highlight material, you know, like themes and stuff that they've already established in the first two seasons, and it's going to layer on like, you know, a song that you've got like a simple beat and then you put a melody over it, and then you like it's going to feel like that where everything gets richer and richer. That's the hope anyway.
We'll see. I want to say we should probably start off with a little bit of a recap of where we left things last season, because it has been so long. And sure. I'm prepared and willing to do that if you are. So,
yeah.
And I'm not going to explain it in like crazy detail. I just want people to like get the gist of it, and maybe that'll jog your memory. So Dolores was, you know, working with Caleb for a large chunk of this season to try and take down Rehoboam and Solomon. And really, like, we thought she was trying to take down the entire world that humans had built, right? And it turns out to be true, just not for the reasons that we thought, because we thought she was hell-bent on destruction. It turns out she's a little bit more concerned for humans, and she knows that we have to tear down the system that's been built because it's a prison for these humans, yes. Right? And so she's, in a way, trying to free humans. So
she's a messianic figure at the end of season three. She's dying so that mankind might achieve some ability to live.
And perhaps. Maeve, the whole season, has been like working for Serac and in service of hopefully getting her daughter and getting to live with her daughter, whether that be in the Sublime or the real world or wherever. And at the
end, of course,
the
Sublime, if you don't like, maybe we should back sure. up. Sublime is, sure. is robot heaven that was introduced yes. in season two. The bulk of the hosts of Westworld were able to escape to, including Maeve's daughter. But she herself, like Moses before her, died just short of the promised land.
And all that was being run in the forge before, but Dolores went in and took the forge, blew up the forge, like destroyed that whole thing. And then, well, she didn't, but she got the data out, and she had a key that was Serac was after, right? He wanted to get that, right. that key.
The encryption.
And we didn't know where it was the whole season. And then we find out at the end of the season that, it wasn't in Dolores after all, because she couldn't trust herself with it. It was actually in Bernard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Bernard, at the end of that season, ends up going to the Sublime. He uses some Halo-type device to connect to the virtual reality, unlock the Sublime, and go there. And then he powers down, and we see him... Who knows how long later? It could be a matter of a few years, I would say, up to a couple hundred years. Who knows? But he wakes back up at the end of that.
Very dusty.
The other thing is Dolores, you know, she's been on her mission, and Maeve's kind of been on the opposite mission, or on a mission to help Serac so that he'll help her. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this season, Dolores manages to convince Maeve to join her side, to see things her way. Gives her actual vision for the future, and Maeve is on board, and she ends up helping destroy Rehoboam, erase it, whatever, and maybe killing Serac, maybe not. It's hard to tell. They leave him wounded there at the end of the season. But she's going to help to, you know, tear down this world and build a new one with humans involved.
Yeah. And her ultimate goal is to get back with her. That's still, that's a one day goal, but it's still probably the primary motivator for her is to get back with her daughter eventually.
Totally. And like I said, Dolores has been working with Caleb this whole season, and his journey this season was to discover, I guess, how bad things had become for humans, right? He's unlocking information both about his own memories and how those memories and his actions were controlled by Rehoboam and Serac as an extension of Rehoboam. And an extension of, you know, him being controlled is everyone's being controlled this way. There was this program where Rehoboam was influencing people to do things through this app where they would get offers and jobs and go out and do things that it had tasked them to do. And there were people who were considered outliers in its master plan, because it's this artificial intelligence that is globe spanning, that tries to predict the outcomes of human events and then tailor human events to reach a certain desired outcome. And Caleb has been a victim of that, essentially, because his whole life has been directed by this. He was in the military at some point, And I don't remember exactly how this happened, but he got into this outlier program, which is a program that takes you off the street, reconditions you, like makes you forget your past, gives you a new personality, essentially. And then, you know, in the show, they were tasking some of these outliers with going out and catching the other outliers and bringing them in for the same procedure in order to keep the strategy on track.
The horror here being they're essentially turning all of the lower classes into human hosts for the enjoyment of the upper classes.
Right. Because
they're still living lavish parties. And it's kind of something like, I feel like that's been even more prescient in the last 2 years
as
things have gotten harder and inflation's like the idea that like a lot of us are working, grinding 50, 60 hour jobs just to stay ahead for ever smaller numbers of us to live the way that would make a pharaoh blush. 7,000 years ago, you know, it's like the guys with the building the pyramids, but this is a little much. I don't know if I need a $1 billion yacht, guys. You know, I got this skiff out in the Nile River. So yeah, it's those themes have become, I think, even more relevant and since the pandemic and all that.
Absolutely. And there's the larger theme of free will in all of this, right? And Caleb, you know, having they make Caleb out to be some very special person who's able to exercise free will, make a choice in ways that other humans are not. And I don't know, they don't really tell us why, I don't think. Like, they just tell us that is true.
This is a singular moment in Dolores's life when she was a host in the combat park where they simulated terrorist attacks.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That Caleb was one of the sergeants that wouldn't let his men rape the women that they saved.
Yeah, but why is he uniquely able to exercise free will, whereas other people are not?
I don't think she's unique. It's just she could trust him to do something selfless and egalitarian.
Okay.
Because like any human could, but she knew this guy could. And because that's the other thing, because he had participated in Delos Park activity and wore that halo, she had the entire book of him that she could read.
And
what is the one human has been through this park that I can, that probably several would have fit, but like, we'll do the things with the right bread crumbs that will follow them and become the thing that I need them to become.
Okay. I was under the impression that he's more like a one type figure from the Matrix or something, right? Like,
it could be. I mean, maybe he's but
I don't know. Anyway,
like I
said,
that's one of the things I've always wondered is like, what does Lisa and Jonathan actually think of humanity? Do they think we're just like fucked at a deep fundamental level, or do they have hope for us?
No, yeah, I think there's a little bit of hope tinge to this show, but we could talk about that maybe. Caleb gains control of Rehoboam thanks to Dolores and has it erase itself, which essentially frees humanity from its strategy. And then you've got Charlotte, who I don't know that we can rightfully call Charlotte per se anymore, because she's a copy of Dolores, right? As much as
Shaloris is what we're calling her. Yeah, Shaloris,
sure. Dolorit doesn't sound very good anyway, so yeah,
Dolorit's bad. Shaloris is the way to go for Mona.
Sure. So she's kind of on the other side of this thing. She has gone full Wyatt mode after her Dolores personality was inserted into Charlotte's body, where she is hell-bent on saving the world on a different path than Dolores, right? Dolores, we found out, wanted to actually preserve the world for humanity too, but Charlotte wants to kill them all. And to the point where the real William is actually killed indirectly by her, actually directly by a host William at the end of this season.
And also, like, I had the crazy... I don't think it's a crazy theory, actually. Now that I've seen the trailers, I think it's what's happening. I don't think that Shaloris is trying to kill humanity. I think she's arrived at the exact same place Dolores did. She's got a completely radical different path that she's trying to take to save humanity. Like, where it appears that she's almost training, a small group of humanity... to increase their consciousness or free will in the exact same way that the host were treated in the first, you know, like she's going to lead them through a path of like instruction and suffering to perfect us so that we can live hand in hand with the robots together. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I mean, I'm sure there'll be fucked up parts that I plan, but I don't think Shaloris wants us all dead anymore. I think she wants to secure the existence of her species first and foremost. And I think if she can save humanity, she would, but it might be a fucked up way to go about it.
Yeah. I think what's going on with William is super interesting in that context, which,
yep.
When we left, so in season two, at the very end, there is a shot of William, a host William, waking up in the desert and being put through the same thing that fucking John Day, I don't know his name, Delos, the original Daddy Delos.
Jim Delos, yeah.
Jim was put through, you know, all the way down, right? That stuff. He's being interrogated by his daughter at the end of that season, a long time in the future. It seems to me like this is, you know, the host William that we see at the end of season three kill the human William. And if you look at the themes of like what was happening there, it feels like they are trying to get William as a host to become sentient, right? To experience that bicameral mind and go walk the maze and become like an actual free thinking entity. That's my best guess as to what they're doing there. If Charlotte is a part of that plan, then she most definitely is trying to preserve the humans in some way, just not in the human form, right?
Yeah, or there's might be this case that like, it's interesting that Charlotte and William, their original selves, met their end at the end of season three. Charlotte was deleted. William was had his own throat slit by a robot copy of him.
Was deleted, right? Charloris is still.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dolores. Yeah. I got the Daughters of Charlotte. I got the portmanteau
easy to do
reversed.
Yeah.
Dolores died because she got deleted sector by sector by Rehoboam. And then William got his throat slit by a copy of himself. I wonder if there's going to be this idea from, because there's a lot of Dolores is still out there too.
Yes.
I wonder if one of the fragments of Dolores will wonder if they got rid of William too soon and there's something vital that they need to understand and they're trying to because we've also seen that the machines, like Dolores especially, has shown the ability to recreate a human just from her experiences and fidelity checks. Like,
yeah,
they essentially resurrected
Bernard.
Arnold. Mm-hmm. Exactly, Bernard Arnold. So I'm wondering if some of this is what we're seeing, that they're doing. They're trying to recreate him because the machines need him to understand something vital about the humans. There's also, there's something strange in the trailers we saw, like this William in this apparatus, this big ring apparatus, has these kind of translucent circle doors that close over him, and he's in this like looking like a Tron suit. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if we saw William die, but I wonder if he's dead in the exact same way like Sir Rock's brother was dead. He's in some kind of suspended animation, like at his moment of death, and they're keeping him as a reference copy. Okay. But there's also scenes in a trailer of William with a partially reconstructed hand. Like, it maybe is a robotic hand, or maybe it's something to like in like the Expanse technology where they can actually regrow from stem cells or something. But like I wonder if they actually are keeping some aspect of William, the real William, alive. And that makes me also think, I wonder if there is also aspect of the real Dolores that's still alive as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Where we leave Charlotte and William is like, host William is working for Charlotte and she's building an army of hosts, or I don't want to call it an army necessarily, cause we don't know its purpose, but she's building a shitload of hosts, hundreds.
Yeah.
Maybe more. We can't actually even see the end of the building that she's building them in. Which, you know, it can have two purposes, right? It could be an army to go kill all humans, or it could be transplant material for human consciousness, you know, a la what they're doing with William. So I don't know, her motives I think are still up in the air, as much as Dolores's were up in the air right through the last couple of seasons, because we thought she was a fucking monster hell-bent on destroying humanity. Turns out it was a little obfuscated.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a reprise of that, where Shaloris is going to seemingly being doing something dastardly and diabolical, and it's just her different attempt to save humanity.
But, it could be.
Or she could just be a monster. Who knows?
I don't know. She seems pretty evil. And there's a line in the trailer that says, there's something wrong with the world and it's my fault. And they cut directly to Shaloris. And I'm like,
yeah,
she's what's wrong in the world.
Also, this newborn, I'm guessing, Dolores, who's got brunette hair, dark red hair, whatever. And she's the one delivering those lines.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be another sequence of another Dolores awaking to the reality of her situation and thinking it's all. And if any fragment of the original Dolores is left in her, then she'd kind of be right. Like, it is. Who's got more of a fault in the architect of this? Is it Bernard or is it Dolores, or is it a dance that they dance together?
Yes. So I love, speaking of AltraFX videos, he points this out, how this has been a loop, right? This has been. There's an M.C. Escher painting in Dolores' house in the real world that shows like one hand drawing the hand that's drawing it, right? Mm-hmm. And that very much, you know, it's emblematic of that idea that like she has been created by him, but then he was recreated by her. If he goes and recreates her after her death again, I mean, it's just, I want to say circle complete, but it's the never ending circle continuing, right?
Yeah.
I can see something very poetic and interesting there. But, I mean, we're kind of caught up with where everybody is at the end of this. I assume Stubbs is just, like, a pool of goo at this point in the bathroom.
Well, we see him walking around in the trailer, and it makes me...
Oh, you're right.
It makes me wonder, how did he get out of there?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he choose to leave Bernard behind? Like, just comatose sitting there on the bed for so long.
Yeah.
Is it the actually like is it did the Stubbs we know dissolve in the goo in the bathtub and they've recreated him and pulled?
Possible.
I don't know. That's one of the burning questions I have, is like, how did he get out of that hotel room? Why did he leave Bernard? You know, he seems to be one of the guardian angels of the robots in the wild. And there's even we talked about that in the wrap up episode. Like, I had this idea of he tried to commit suicide in Westworld and he missed his vertebra.
Uh-huh.
Well, what the fuck is that? A machine made a mistake? Like, to me, that sounds like maybe one of the last cards played by Ford or maybe even Bernard to try to do some shaping or control of things. But they're clearly, I mean, are we talking about the trailer now?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Hey
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga-sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I think one to let's talk about, we left the world of Westworld in flames.
Yeah.
Its major cities were on fire. You had Dolores running around with barrels of explosives blowing shit up.
And when you say the world of Westworld, you mean the real world outside of the park.
The real world. Yeah, the globe, Terra Firma. Yet when we rejoin the action in the trailer, we see Caleb sitting on the ledge having lunch, like looks like he's clocked into a regular working day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd think, it's like, okay, well, the governments of the world quelled all the riots and they've returned some semblance of order. When I was watching this, I remembered that last, when they were debating about, Rehoboam and all that kind of stuff, there was this last prediction that the Solomon engine made, where if they went down this path, that there would be a predicted mass casualty event in 6 to 10 years, another one in 12 to 16 years, leading to a population collapse in exactly 23 years, no wiggle room there, mm-hmm. then the end of human civilization in 50 to 125 years. I'm guessing we're in the 6 to 10 years between the first initial riots and overthrow of Rehoboam and that 6 to 10 year population mass casualty event.
Makes sense.
The other thing is Rehoboam is gone because we know that Caleb was, one of his profiles is he was not designed to be married or have children, but he's wearing a wedding ring conspicuously in all the trailer stuff. So,
oh yeah, I mean Rehoboam.
He's still a working stiff, but he's regained some of his humanity and some of his freedom and some of his ability to make choices.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I noticed. Do you just want to trade observations about the trailers?
Yeah. So one of the things that piqued my interest is, you know, those all white drones that we see.
Yeah, the faceless occasionally. Drones.
Yeah, in mostly in the park, but like.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we've ever seen him outside the park. This trailer has one, as best I can tell, outside the park, talking to a young girl who may be Maeve's daughter. I can't remember exactly what she looked like.
Could be Maeve's daughter. Could be, I don't know. Something.
Either way, like the most interesting thing about that to me is the all white robot drones are outside of the park, which makes me wonder, is that what Shaloris was creating?
All right, I'm going to do another observation. It looks like Shaloris is running a central spire tower around an island-constructed city. And the top of that has a control room exactly like the original Westworld.
Hmm.
And there's another scene of her like with a whole bunch of people in this city, like frozen in a dance position, and she's inspecting them. I wonder if she has found a way to use their, Wi-Fi host powers to directly influence humans who have, I don't know, maybe been infected by a fly or something. And that she's essentially slowly turning humans into hosts to then uplift them, to give them true free will the
put
way
them
that
through
hosts
the maze,
have.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got this inversion of like the first two seasons were about these masses of hosts and you had humans moving among them and the hosts were oblivious to it. And in season four, Shaloris is going to have a city where you have masses of humans doing their thing and hosts moving about them, manipulating them without their knowledge. You've got like a through the looking glass kind of thing going.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, I guess, about previous seasons has been how, like, the relationship to free will and the maze, and like the idea that trauma is what sort of inspires free will in humans.
Yeah.
And Rehoboam was all about preventing that trauma, right? Finding the most optimal path for humanity to get to some utopia, and making sacrifices along the way. But the park could be about intentionally putting humans through that in order to reach the next level of consciousness. Could be very interesting. But it also runs right up to the edge of that treading old ground stuff that you're worried about.
Like, is that an inversion, or is that going to feel like going through the level backwards?
Right, right.
I don't know. So, what else do you got?
I've heard the term mob world thrown around, and we see like a 1920s gangster tinged prohibition era sort of
I was calling it prohibition world in my notes, okay. So which means Delos somehow is still allowed to run a park even after all the shit that they've stirred,
seemingly. I mean, yeah, if we think Chloris is gonna be running something, they could be running a park there. Some hybrid thing, like one of the parks is running humans as hosts and the other part of the park is running hosts for humans. I don't know. I don't know. It's a transitionary period, right? Like, by all accounts, if you're trying to inspire a new world, well, you kind of did it, but you got to wait, you know, and you need to have people on board with whatever plan you have in the meantime.
I think we need to be open to the idea that for the great powers of the world is essentially reset after they're trying to keep the system going. And part of that is Delos is, you know, still running fucking Westworld.
Totally.
Gangster world, mobster world, whatever, Capone world.
Yeah.
And still taking in people. Now, it also might be something that Chloris is doing intentionally, because like I do have a theory. There's this epic shot of it might be Maeve's daughter's face opening up and just spewing flies, and then we see a scene of a guy who is in the outfit selection area of Mob World. Like, he's selecting which of his hats and which Tommy gun he wants. Like this thing is being overrun by flies. It looks like a fly is forcing its way into his eyeball. There's another shot of Aaron Paul on the ground screaming and a fly entering his ear canal. I think I don't know who's doing it, but my theory is Chloris is using these flies as a literal virus to infect humans. Like, it's like some kind of machine code that's like turning humans into hosts. This is my grand unified theory.
Yeah, could be.
And they're using Maeve's daughter, but I don't know where the Maeve's daughter, because it does seem like it's Maeve's daughter, but I don't know. Maybe they recast her. Like, Maeve's daughter is clearly like probably 7 years older than she was at the start of this thing, so they probably do. I don't know, but that flies have always been something. It's been something like that was a shorthand in season one for a host being infected by sentience.
Yeah,
and I think it's like, again, it's another one of those inversions that there's something infecting real people, real humans, flesh and blood humans.
I mean, the other wrinkle there is Maeve's daughter looking like she's in the real world. Last we knew, she was in the Sublime, right? So are we seeing the Sublime, or did she get brought out somehow?
How about that shot of the Hoover Dam
with the Sublime
looking
rift?
Like a Sublime rip running right through it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Are they siphoning power off the human dam to keep the Sublime running? Because that
maybe
or is the Sublime going to always run in Bernard's head? They feel like they need to find a permanent home for that, because that's just an inherently dangerous situation for it to be going.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a single point of failure.
Sure. Yeah. You'd think robots would understand the
it's a wild
of distributed systems.
It's a wild it's a wild visual.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they're doing with, because there's also something we talked about on the wrap up of the last podcast, the idea that time runs differently in simulations. Those hosts could have been chilling in the Sublime for 100,000 years in the last couple of years and could achieve some kind of crazy, you know, like Kim was talking about, this crazy utopian society.
Yes.
That Bernard is going to use as a blueprint for, like, I got to come out, you know, like I've learned some things, I need to get out into the real world.
Yeah.
But what it's doing at the Hoover Dam, who knows?
I don't know. Also, I saw them destroy Rehoboam for some reason. I know he was deleted last season, but the computer was still there. The whole inside building, as best I can tell, gets blown up.
Yeah, I was wondering if... because they said that as Rehoboam... I pronounce him Rehoboam all my life, and as Rehoboam.
Yeah.
As he was deleting Dolores, is there any idea that he was keeping a copy of each of her sectors in his own memory? And that's going to be a way that they're going to have the messianic figure arise from the dead.
I mean, that's the thing in the finale episode. Like, there's this power surge, right? When Dolores is hooked up to Rehoboam, and it's the thing that gives Caleb control over it, which...
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say Dolores wasn't just entirely uploaded into Rehoboam?
The only thing is, like, Lisa Joy said pretty definitively that this version of Dolores is dead and gone. Like, the one that we have followed since season one. But this version does a lot of fucking heavy lifting when you're talking robots and
because we know there's artificial at least sentience. Four more of her out there, I think. Five more, potentially.
There's the Lawrence marble that's still ambulatory walking around. There's the Musashi marble, which I think is deactivated. There is the Connell's marble.
Yeah, the security goon for
Sarac's Insight. I don't know if he's alive or dead or still walking around.
I can't then remember.
Then there's Dolores Prime, which is gone, and Shaloris. So there's definitely, but I would call those were all shards of Dolores. The Dolores Prime that's had all the experiences and the whole continuity of existence, I think is gone. But it could also just be transferred to Rehoboam and then transferred to another body. There's some kind of fucking Dolores Abernathy running around out there saying season one innocent Dolores Abernathy things. But that wouldn't be, by definition, the same Dolores. So.
Yeah, there's nothing in this trailer that indicates continuity here between the Dolores that we knew that was erased and the Dolores that we see in the trailer. So,
Yeah. I'm still wondering how they're using the maze, because I saw Bernard flashing that to somebody as almost like a passphrase. And I thought that was a little hokey, that they were using that maze symbol as like some kind of a sign of the human underground. Like, I what is a unifying thing about this symbol? Because it made sense in season one and a little bit in season two. And I think using the maze is a little bit cringy. Like, I hope they have a bomb-ass reason that the maze is still...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just become a symbol. It's like the U.S. flag, you know?
Sure, it could be that.
Kind of cringy that that we're flying it from our business and houses, but shit, it's the United States. What are you going to do?
Yeah, or it could be something that we don't fully understand yet because we haven't seen the fruit of Dolores' plan. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
There's a scene of Caleb looking like he's fucking around in an open fusion reactor.
Yeah, what is happening there?
It's like I said, it feels like there's the sun behind him, and there's some kind of containment vessel in front of him. And he's
being cremated
Spock.
Or something.
He's like Wrath of Khan. Yeah, he's either being cremated or Wrath of Khan 2 trying to do open heart surgery on a fusion reactor with his bare hands.
But he seems
too comfortable,
right, for the situation he's in. Like, if there are the fires of hell directly behind him, he seems panicked, but not actively being burned alive is my feeling.
On a scale between Aaron Paul sleeping and Aaron Paul at the end of the Freak on the Leash video.
Okay.
I would say he's not calm. I would say he's definitely like Aaron Paul losing his shit and acting with urgency and franticness, but you're not like a person who is like being combusted by nuclear fire. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know what's going on there. Shit, maybe he's a host at that point. Who knows?
Is there ever, there's like, is that, because that's the thing we've been fucking around with, the idea that like there used to be many, many types of hominids on this planet that had probably sentient human-like intelligences, like the Neanderthal.
Mm-hmm.
And we killed them. We outcompeted and killed them, put them to death. And we are the only ones left on the Earth. It feels to me like this could be a story about our successors.
Yeah.
And that it's not that humans are going to not be around anymore. It's just that this is the next evolution.
Mm-hmm. This is why I'm 100% okay with that fact.
Right. And if you're not, no one gives a shit. Like, ask a Tyrannosaurus Rex if he's cool with being a turkey now. Yeah. He probably would not be cool, going from apex predator to on the Thanksgiving table. But no one asked him because that's not how life works. If we're going to be like the Neanderthal probably didn't want to be replaced either. It happened. And I'd be cool, especially because these are I think recognizably human people. Maybe even better versions of us. And maybe there's a way to, I keep on wondering also if there's a way to capture human consciousness and put him into the, I know that was one of the holy grails that they had as one of Delos research, but I wonder if they'll perfect that and they even be the resurrection of Dr. Ford. Cause I wouldn't mind seeing Anthony Hopkins back.
Sure. Yeah. Get him back.
He's 93 million years old now, but, he was bringing the fire the last two seasons I saw him in. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's what they're trying to do with, William in the far future, but we'll see. And I would say, I hope that if there is, some creation that comes out of humanity, of artificial intelligence, that it would be more moral, more ethical than we are, and that the phase out would be a lot smoother for humanity, right? Not line them up against the wall and shoot them all to death, but
yeah, I don't want
let
Terminator,
them run the natural course, right? Let them be out-competed, but in a soft competition.
Yeah. Nah, we'll probably die screaming.
Yeah, probably.
That too shall pass. What else do we have to
talk
about?
I don't just want a stronger, faster, smarter version of humans to succeed us. What I would like is a better, kinder, gentler version of humanity to succeed us.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. But again, we don't get to decide whether we're T-Rexes or turkeys. So.
Right. And how do you outcompete a species as ruthless as humanity if you're not just as much
stronger,
or
faster,
more so?
Yeah, smarter. Yeah. What else we have to talk about from the trailers and getting people hyped for season four?
I think that's about it. I'm very excited. After having watched the last two episodes of season three and gone through and done some research on the overarching themes, I'm very excited for season four. Ready for it
to be here. Coming in here. I'm well rested. I'm well read at the last few things we've been watching. I've been thoroughly enjoying, so I'm not pissed off or feeling a certain way about watching a bunch of stuff I don't like. I am I am in peak podcasting form for Westworld season four. I want, and again, like I said, there's stuff in the headlines that is making this stuff super relevant from an AI sentience perspective, from a do we have free will? Are we just running around in this hamster wheel for no goddamn reason perspective? I think it's going to be more resonant than ever. And I really hope Nolan and Joy can bring the thunder. They've certainly had enough time. I don't know how much they plan to have, but they've been given enough time by circumstance to dot all the I's, cross all the T's. The only real complaint I had with season three is some of the action scenes. And I think Westworld does trade on a certain amount of slick sci-fi action was not great. But they pretty much fixed all those problems in the second half. I don't know how much of it is Jennifer Getzinger because, man, the episode she directed, all that shit just fucking worked.
Yeah.
I haven't seen who the director is in any of these episodes yet. I hope that she's returning because, man, she was a shot in the arm and a nice, tight storyteller that could do action and the type of person that they need behind the camera in this show. I hope they can keep that momentum going.
And whether they bring the thunder or not, we are going to continue to bring the thunder. Let's talk a little bit about what coverage we plan on bringing.
We decided, because we have screener access to the show, but we have decided amongst ourselves that we are going to go into this season blind. We are going to watch the first episode of Westworld live at 9 p.m. Eastern with everybody else in the world. And after that's over, we're going to do like we did the year before. We're going to do an instant talk podcast where Jim and I give our off-the-cuff impressions of the episode, the questions raised, without any research or thinking about it, because we just watched it. And then we're going to host an instant talk Did I say instant? An instant take, which gives us our opinions and stuff. And then we're going to host an instant talk immediately after, where we'll invite people, our club members who are joining us through the YouTube video feed, to chat with us and ask questions and make comments and all that kind of good stuff. We're going to answer those live. And that podcast will be available in an archive for club members. But you're going to have to be a club to participate in that and to enjoy that. So we're going to do that on Sunday night, and that will be each and every Sunday night. Then on Tuesday, we'll have our full podcast as normal, where we can get all the cultural references and the AI concepts and all that stuff researched. And then a departure from last year is we got so much feedback. We are going to do a dedicated feedback show later in the week, probably Thursdays. Yeah. Now, I will say, once the first week is done, we are probably going to use those screeners to time shift our recordings of certain stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, we will pre-record, where Jim and I will watch the screeners together, pre-record our instant take, and then play that while we're getting ready for the instant talk portion. But the other thing we're going to do is we're never going to get more than 1 week ahead. So we're not going to be further ahead than you are at any time, because honestly, we're scared to death of accidentally spoiling things, because we know a big part, for good or ill, because it's not necessarily a good thing, is the obsessive theory making and dwelling over the ARG stuff and the crazy theories of the week. And it would be a real bummer if we're five episodes ahead and we're like, nah, this is stupid. So we're gonna be playing along the same. The only difference is we're gonna use it to get a day or two ahead, so that, because we're also doing so much stuff. This is gonna run right up into House of the Dragon, also on HBO, The Rings of Power. We've got For All Mankind and The Boys going.
Better Call Saul comes back sometime.
Better Call Saul is going to come back in the middle of this mess. The fucking Walking Dead is going to shamble in.
Who knows?
At the end of August at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But our pledge to you is we're never going to be ahead of where you actually are. And we're going to keep pace. We're only going to use this to kind of time shift our coverage a bit. So, if you have thoughts, as always, send them in to westworld@baldmove.com. And we can't wait this Sunday night, man. This Sunday night, we're going to watch the premiere with everybody, and we're going to talk about it immediately after, and a whole bunch more for the next 8 weeks. Glad to have everybody back. I'm very excited to be talking to Westworld, and we'll see you immediately after that first episode on the instant take, if you're a club member. And if not, we'll see you on Tuesday following. Westworld@baldmove.com. Get your takes in. We'll see you next week.